I want to go back to the first reading, which is one of the great healing stories of the Bible. Naaman, the great general of the land of Aram, is a leper and is healed by washing in the Jordan seven times. A very easy assignment, as it turns out. But before he can get into the waters of the Jordan, there is a whole drama that has to unfold, and there's a lot more to that drama than just healing. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time with it today and invite all of you into this story and into some of the characters there, because maybe there's one of these characters through whom the Lord would like to speak to you today. So we'll start with Naaman. Naaman, I guess officially, commander of the king of Aram. The background to the story is this. Aram is wealthy and powerful and has a lot more money and a lot more weapons than the little land of Israel. And quite frequently, you might say, it's kind of a great power conflict. If you're familiar with that terminology, periodically the Arameans just go on raids and threaten and harass the Israelites and are trying to subjugate their people to them. But Naaman is sick, and he needs help. He, if you follow the line through the story, is very impressed with himself. He has a direct line to his king. He has access to 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments, in addition to horses and chariots. This man has more money relative to his context than any of us have ever seen. And he trusts in his connections, in his power, in his money, and in his weapons to get what he wants. So that's the first character. The second character, the servant girl. She appears in the story in kind of a surprising way. The scripture text alludes to the traumatic circumstances that bring her into Naaman's house. The Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel. She's a kidnapping victim. She's been trafficked. Her body, her time, her labor belong to Naaman and his wife. She is set for service. She has no freedom. She has no autonomy. And she has no way out. But she does have a memory. She does have knowledge of a prophet. And even though her freedom has been stolen, and even though her body is dominated, and even though her time is captive, there is a place inside of her that all the power, human powers that seek to subjugate and destroy cannot touch. She has interior freedom, and so says to her, the wife whom she serves, if only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he could get cured of his leprosy. There are people who read this story and say, you know what, see, all of us should be servants like this. See how humble, see how loving. See how even she just still cares for her master, but my interpretation of her is a little different than that. I think that God wants dignity for all people, and this story in which she is able to testify, even in the place where she has been enslaved, is a sign that God is on the side of people like her who have been taken captive from the land of Israel. And that God preserves inside of her a place that is free, a place that cannot be dominated or destroyed. And so there is dignity in this young girl who is able to speak the truth about the prophet and the truth about God, and ultimately the truth to Naaman about healing. So that was the second character. The third characters are the kings, who show up in the middle of this story, and sometimes in our lectionary when this story comes up, the little section about how the kings talk to each other is completely cut out because it sort of refers to the wider political context. Naaman has asked his king for a letter of introduction to the king of Israel so he can find the prophet, so he can get healing, and because of the wider situation of war and conflict, the moment where the king of Israel just throws up his hands, tears his clothes, and completely freaks out happens because he is afraid that what the king of Aram is actually threatening is war. As if somebody were to come up to you and say, hey, would you please heal my general here or else? It's a threat letter, it feels like, to the king of Israel. Here's my Syrian general, treat him well, I'm watching you. The kings in the story operate as though theirs is the only power that they know. The king of Aram has the power to send. The king of Israel thinks he has no power. All he can rely on is himself, and when faced with a general who's got leprosy, he has no power at all over illness and health. The king forgets that there's a God, that there's a prophet, and the king is terrified. The fourth character, Elisha, the prophet, the man of God, who seems completely non-anxious in the face of all of the anxiety around him. The king of Israel is tearing his clothes and is preparing for an invasion. Naaman is stomping his feet and insisting that Elisha look at his greatness, at his shekels, at his horses, at his chariots. I am such an important man, Naaman claims. Why is this prophet not coming out to greet me? Elisha doesn't react. Elisha is not afraid. Elisha does not get stirred up in the face of everyone else being stirred up around him. Elisha has one single task: to be a prophet, to speak God's word, to remember that they are God's people. So he offers Naaman the thing that he seeks, which is healing. Just go wash in the Jordan 7 times. It doesn't feel like enough to Naaman, but the servants sneak in. If the prophet had given you something hard, would you have done it? And finally, Naaman is healed. But Elisha never wavers. He is who God made him to be. He does what God sent him to do. He does not get impressed by wealth and power. He does not change his game in the face of threat. Four characters in a story. I've heard it said that one of the points, if you could say stories have points or morals in the Bible, is to remember that absolutely everyone in God's sight is human, and that the healing that's offered in this story is a recovery of our basic humanity. The servant, the slave girl, speaks. Naaman is not as great as he thinks he is. He is a vulnerable human being needing healing like the rest of us. The kings do not rule on their own, but they need other voices to speak to them. And maybe that's all of those things are good lessons. But today, as I think about this story, I think the invitation that I heard in it this past week, and I wonder about for you, is whether there is one of these characters that speaks to you more than others. A character with whom the Holy Spirit is inviting you to sit. Maybe you find yourself like Naaman, worried about your status, about wealth and power. If that's the case, maybe the Holy Spirit is inviting you to let that worry wash off in the waters of your baptism and to recover a sense of your own humanity, just one among all people whom God has made. Or maybe you find yourself drawn to the slave girl. Maybe you felt your dignity been violated, and you want to know that indeed there is a place inside of you that God preserves. That there is a human dignity, the image of God that has been placed on you cannot be stolen and kidnapped, but it can speak. If you're drawn to that character, again, wash in the waters of baptism and remember, you were marked as the child of God and sealed with the Holy Spirit. Nothing can steal that from you. Or maybe you're like the king of Israel. And somehow just remembering God as a part of your daily life has just, well, it has just not been happening. You too are one of God's children. Remember the waters of baptism in which you are washed. Even if you forget, God will remember and God will claim you. Or maybe you're drawn to Elisha. I don't know. I find myself drawn to Elisha, though I can hardly say that I'm like him. But I'm drawn to Elisha because there's something about his non-anxious presence, something about his ability to stay true to who he is and what God has given him to do. Maybe you could sit with Elisha for a while if you've been feeling anxious and let his sense of purpose affect your own spirit. For God does call each of us to tasks, and God gives each of us a place. And God does not want that sense of purpose that God plants inside of us to be stolen by anyone who would try to redirect it, whether by threat or by fear. All of us, human beings gathered today here around Word and Sacrament, need healing, need a voice, need to remember that there is a God in Israel, need to remember that there is a God here, need to remember that we have been claimed, that we have a calling. Amen.